Welcome to the Port Charles Update with your hosts, Mish and Mel.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How can we go an entire week? Jason, 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 then Friday, not one iota. Not one preview, not one sneak peek, not one eyeball, not one arm, not one tattoo, not one anything. I could not.
Johnny was sitting next to me watching today, and he's like, how could they do that? I go, what do you
mean? Right?
He's like, it's Friday. He's like, why are they doing this?
Why are they doing this to me? It's pure torture.
Oh my God, it started. And I mean, like, when I saw Dex, I'm like, okay, all right. But I have to admit, like, there were certain things that I was like, oh my gosh. Like, they had me, but I'm easy.
Because yeah. I was like, they didn't know. I was thinking about you, though, because I'm like, Joss and Dex are like, a rerun. No, thank you. Marshall, rerun. No, thank you. There would have been enough room for Jason on Friday.
There would have been enough room for Jason on Friday. But I'm sorry. The Dex and Joss scene, are you not confused about the layout of his apartment?
Oh my God, I so thought
about it. Do you not understand? I had to rewind. Like, my brain stuttered. I'm like, what's happening? I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, was it always like this? I'm like, because we have different apartments that look similar. Because a lot of the times they have just a hole in the wall, like in the back wall in the middle. So it, yeah. And it looks like you can go left or right, like at Maxi's or at Chase's. So we know, I know, and it comforts me as a viewer to know that behind those walls could be the rest of the apartment. Okay. Like, it comforts me to know that I've walked in your house and I see this amazing living space, but that you have a kitchen. And I know that you do. Yep. Somewhere behind those, yep, that area, that staging area. And then when I was like looking at Dex's, I was like, was it always a door like that? That had like a door. Like, I always thought it was an open space, but I got so confused. I'm like, so your bedroom's right there. And I'm like, well, then you don't have a kitchen then.
Exactly.
That's just how I feel.
I thought the kitchen was that way. So it was
me too.
And then there was no other alleyways.
Yeah. So then he's like, he doesn't have a kitchen. There's no kitchen. And I'm like, maybe it could be behind the invisible wall. And maybe it's on the other side, but I find that hard to believe because I know based on most layouts that it's in the back. It's behind the sofa usually, right? We have, yes, a living room, yes, and then there's a door. There's like an open space. And I know that behind that open space is your bedroom next to the kitchen, next to the bathroom, right? Like Sunny's. There's an opening. Yes. Nobody ever like, yes, goes.
Nobody
out
knows what's there.
Okay, yes. So for anybody who's listening, this is all it's about. We just
layouts this episode.
Layouts. It's all about layouts.
Architecture. That's our next podcast. Yes. It's a spinoff. It's going to be great, guys. Okay.
I need to know if you heard this because I had to rewind to hear this lots. And Johnny heard it and said, okay, maybe he misspoke.
Okay, tell me.
When you were watching TJ talk to Jordan, his, yes, very hot mom, okay?
Yes.
Did you notice what he said about Christina's relationship to Dante?
Remind me.
So this is what I heard, okay? And if everybody wants, mm-hmm, if anybody.
Well, that's call to action is happening.
Some people. So if you want to go on to the episode this happened on, I don't know which one, but at minute roughly around 9:40, okay? TJ says about Christina that it's, you know, because he's scared, right? It turns out he's stressed about violence.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And also Christina, right? Being pregnant.
Yes.
And then he says, and Dante is her brother and brother-in-law. And I was like, wait a second. Did he just say that Christina is Dante's brother? Because that's true.
That's true.
But then I'm like, is he saying my brother-in-law? I'm like, he's also not TJ's brother-in-law. But he's technically right. But I just was shocked. And I'm like, what's he talking about? And I rewound. And it says, Dante is her brother and brother-in-law.
Yeah, I'm going to have to listen again because I didn't catch on. I just kind of jumped to the conclusion that he meant for him, but it plays out accurately.
But it's true because Christina is his brother, but it's also, you
her
know,
sister
Sam's,
and her brother
partner. And so And so in my notes, I wrote, or his brother-in-law. But now that I'm talking to you, Dante is not his brother-in-law. So,
well, technically, yes.
What? No, it's his yes. But that's why I was like, because... is he saying it's my brother-in-law? Like, Dante is Christina's brother and my brother-in-law. But he wasn't talking about him. But it sounded like, and he might have misspoke, or I don't know what the line was supposed to be, but it came off as Dante is her brother and brother-in-law.
I hope it's still not, accurate. It's amazing. It's amazing based on and all he the did things
call,
we talk about.
And he did call them all dysfunctional. So, I mean, it makes sense for that scene. I was so shocked. I love that because doesn't that make sense? Because he's like literally just a family of two. Like his fam is so small, right? He grew up with his mom when she was around.
and then Sunny had, for a bit.
Yes. And and then he has, you know, some people, little amount of peoples, but wouldn't it make sense that you
they're
would
very have tiny, one... I guess.
It's just that they feel bigger, but I guess they're not that many more people.
They're little, like, wow, they're really small.
No, but it's just because he's from a family of like four and he's from a family of two, but he has other relatives. This podcast is about layouts and counting, brought to you by the number.
By mathing.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I'm going to stop because I won't be able to do otherwise. But wouldn't it make sense that at some point you'd want to vent about your in-laws? Like they're so messed up. Everyone gets kidnapped and blown up.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, that was interesting that he was, like, actually scared about, like, having a family connected to this family. No, having a baby. I'm like, why does that sound weird? He's making a family. He's having a family. He's birthing a family.
A family. And their families are uniting.
And I loved how he spilt the Puerto Rico stuff. He's like, you know, I learned this. Oh, don't say anything. You're not supposed to know that because it's that. I loved how real that was. And she's like, don't worry about it. You're going through a lot. But it's crazy because he has to keep these secrets. He has to be careful what he tells his mom.
Yeah.
So I could not have loved that more. And that was one of my favorite lines. What am I supposed to tell her? That her family is a dysfunctional mess and frequently in physical danger? And I was like, wow, no truer words, TJ.
Right?
Yeah, but you also got kidnapped, man. Like, well, your uncle was shot. Well, because of Molly's uncle, but still, right? Uncles were involved.
Uncles were involved. And wait, is Marshall related to him? No, Trina.
What do you mean? Yes.
Yes. It's so confusing and it's Friday.
Marshall is his granddad. So, wait, no. Well, yes, I get what you mean. His biological dad is who he thought his dad was.
Oh, it's his best friend. Granddad. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, no, not his step-granddad. Nope. No, it's because he thought his dad was an Ashford. He thought his dad was Curtis's brother. But it turned out that his real, but then it died. So then he didn't have a dad, but he didn't know that he did. And it was Sean, who was his dad's best friend. Oh my God. Like, just give up. Like, I just can't. This is so
okay. Like, you know, we'll just move on. We love him.
I do love TJ. I do love TJ. Okay, I'm gonna. Should we talk about Marshall now?
Well, I guess, because I don't know what there's to talk about.
But apparently, there's enough to keep this going. Like, so one person wrote a line, I've been gone for 40 years because I thought I had schizophrenia. And then it didn't stop. And so they wrote the line, it was said, it was acted out. We all found out about it, but then it keeps coming up and it keeps coming up and it keeps coming up. And every time it comes up and it seems resolved, it turns out we were wrong because it comes up again and it's not. And I'm having a hard time following the storyline that I thought I knew everything about. And every time more happens and I'm like, okay, so it's just as we all suspected and were told and confirmed on multiple occasions.
I was hoping with Kevin getting involved that it would get more interesting, but quite frankly, I don't even know if I registered.
Like, but is it bad? Because I assume that was the reason. Like I had assumed that from the start. Like, it's dark and it's sad, but I had like assumed that. But also this whole thing about confronting the doctor, it's like,
I know
Marshall made choices. Like, at the end of the day, when they were all like, we're gonna ask this man why he did this, it's like, well, we heard and it was awful, but at the same time it's like, you were misdiagnosed, yes, and that doctor is responsible for turning your world upside down. But at what point do you become responsible for the choice to stay away for 40 years, though? Like, you are responsible for how you responded to that news. Of course, it influenced you. But on some level, like, you can confront the doctor, you can get the answers, but there's still the whole, like, 40 years thing.
And that's
inexplicable.
Exactly. And, like, I don't know if he's heard about this, but there are, like, other doctors.
I know. It's
confusing because it's like, okay, is he just trying to work through his feelings in this weird way and his family's being like gung-ho supportive? But I have yet to understand how far they're going to push this and why.
I know. And I think that for me, I think it is a big thing to forgive yourself for. How do you...
Yes.
How do you come to terms with 40 years? And I can see how everybody is trying to maybe lessen that burden from him. But it's just that we've seen scenes where they're trying to talk about it and he's trying to make peace with it. That's why I feel like it's being reopened, because there have been intense talks, right, between Marshall and Curtis and Marshall and Stella. So that's why I thought that was wrapped up. But my biggest problem about this whole Marshall thing is that when Marshall came on the scene, he had connections to the Novaks. And he was talking to mobsters, protecting Curtis, clearly has some understanding. And I remember him being in his motel room, being on a secret phone call, and we couldn't figure out if he was, like, in the mob, if he was, I was about to say CBI, but it's, like, a gang in, like, another show. I don't know what's happening. What are we talking about? So
welcome,
I thought that
to
he was
the GH podcast. This is the
WSB. So I'm annoyed because we thought Marshall had this other identity. And they dropped all those things. So we never knew who he was on the phone with in that motel.
I know. It was kind of like they fooled us a little bit, but there was a little tiny
they
bit.
They fooled us.
Tomfoolery. Okay. But there was one part that I was like, okay, maybe. I was like just grasping at straws as to how this can be interesting. And when he was talking to Curtis, he's like, I did anything and everything to get what I needed. I'm like, oh, okay. Are they going to tie it back to exactly what you're talking about? So I'm holding on to that nugget just in case. But apart from that, I'm zoned out.
Because I thought that he left the family to protect them because of a mob-related threat.
Yes.
That was what would, that's what could explain staying away for, like, you know, 40 years. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about Anna Banana? Do you want to know what my problem is?
Oh, what's your problem?
Do you want to know what my problem is?
I want to know, girl.
My problem. This is my problem. She shouted at Carly. She's so shouty. And I'm really annoyed because she, like, yells at Carly about, like, the car and all this stuff. And, like, Carla, just tell us. But do you notice that when it comes to actual criminals, she's always like, please confess. Just tell me a crime. It's like, what is wrong with you? Like, she pleads with Jason. She pleads with Sunny. But then a person who's not an actual criminal, she's yelling at her. She's like, let me at him. I want them to be my men too. Please let me in. I'm a cool cop.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, since you said that, I was just watching because, and then she'd kind of like smirk a little bit. She's playing with the whole power thing. She really wants to, she's really been pushing this week. Like, I know that life. I know Jason. Because of Robin, I know him. I know what, you know what I mean? I'm just like, whoa, you don't though, because you were like never here.
I was clearly angry because one of my bullet points says this: Anna sucks.
I feel the anger. I feel
that's
it.
I was rarely upset about how she handled like everything.
Yes.
And then, because you know, like Jagger, he's all like questioning her integrity, right? He was all like, well, Dante works here and his dad's a mobster. However, Jagger is not the first person who sort of pointed that out.
Well, yeah.
That it's, you know. And so Anna is in a room and she's IDing the voice, which I kind of love, right? Because they can like ID that and know that it's Jason. Yes. And it also supports the fact that he was trying to save Dante's life. But that she's in there sharing all of the evidence with Sunny. Having like a heart to heart. And then Jagger walks in. He's like, what is going on in here? And then he tries to like find an in with Chase, right? Yes. And who better to at least try to like have an in with a person who's like, you think is like upstanding and really like maybe narrow views when it comes to the law. But there was something that Jagger didn't know.
Yes.
Chase has a gray streak now.
He does. And he's getting married to Brooklyn, who's sketchy, whose favorite uncle is Sunny.
Exactly. So he's sort of in that life, you know, there's, well, not a lot, he's but like Michael, but also Dante, you know, that's his partner and he's trying to do right by him. And right now it's like Anna is his people and this outsider guy isn't, but I can understand why Jagger would be like, what is happening? And then Sunny, I just can't with him.
I can't. Okay, good. I was so annoyed.
He tells, because I got confused because like at this point, people are finding out about Jason and one person is like, he's been gone for 2+ years. And then when Sunny talks to Anna, he says something, 2.5 and more years. And I'm like, what's going on with the math guys? what's up? But then I realized what he said was, I don't know Jason anymore for 2.5 years and more. And he's trying to account for the mic time. And I'm like, back at ya. Like, do you not understand that? You too. And when he whines and moans about Jason and Carly, and I loved how Lois was when she was like, well, I thought like you guys broke up because you were with Mina. He's like, yeah, that's what happened, but also other things happen that I didn't like specifically. It's more about my perspective. Like, I just couldn't believe it. Like, yes, they got married, but that was something that you would always point out in terms of the subtleties, is that choice. Like, choice was a big thing that you pointed out. It's like, yes, Sunny had feelings for Nina and Sunny, but Sunny also has to be accountable for like not making the choice to reach out to his family. Like, as Mike, that choice never happened. And it was something that irked everybody that he didn't try. And then the fact that like he had feelings for Nina, which was understandable, but he chose to like pursue them, right? He fanned the flames, he didn't shut those down. And there was no doubt that Carly and Jason had feelings for each other. That was real. But their choice was to shut it down.
And the fact, like, I don't know how you felt. I just felt like that green throwing up emoji when Sunny said he wanted to try and make it work. He tried and tried and tried.
Lies.
Carly made it impossible. I wanted to throw something at the TV, but I love my TV and I don't like Sunny.
I was so mad when he said that. I was like, what are you actually talking about right now? And it's like, even his conversation with Carly when they were up on the roof, he was like, Jason is an expert shot. He never misses. And I'm like,
that's the point.
Exactly. That's the point. Then how did he miss, you genius? If he wanted, like, and I don't understand. Even Anna Banana, I was like, what is the matter with you? When she's like, all the evidence. Like, and they even say Jason was with another person. All the evidence points to the fact that Jason shot his pursuer and his pursuer shot him. I'm like, what? Like, I don't understand how that's the only scenario. All you know is that Jason was shot, Dante was shot, and somebody saved Dante, and that person happened to be Jason. There are many different things that could have happened. Many people could have shot many people. I mean, for instance, what if Jason stood in front of Dante and it was just one bullet that went through both? Like, what if that happened? You know, what if, like, you know, Jason jumped at the second shot and it happened to go through the same bullet hole and then hit Dante in a second location?
100%.
You know what I mean? There's so many different other likely scenarios. Also, one that Carly pointed out, the other guy could have shot Dante. Did anyone think about the other guy? They're like, but there's no evidence to support that or not support that. And I'm like, that's what evidence is supposed to do. It's supposed to paint a picture, and your evidence doesn't paint just one picture.
Even Christina knows that.
Oh, even Christina. I love that. I love hearing Molly too. Like, it felt like old Molly when she started to get nostalgic about like Jason and how much, you know, she was like obsessed with him and Sam's love and the way that he saved Christina, and that she can't really find it in her to doubt or believe that he did this. And then again, you know, Anna piling on, being like, you know, he survived. Like, I know he did. And I'm like, I didn't understand her logic. They're like, a body would have washed up and it didn't. And I'm like,
it sounded like fake forensics.
It did. I'm like, but so if a body doesn't doesn't wash up, the person is 100% alive. That feels really strange. She goes, I know. So, I've known snipers. They go in and they go out. They know what they're doing. They like kill people and then they take transportation away. I was like, what are you talking about? Trying to be cool in front of Molly. Like, I know these kinds of people. Like, what?
That being said, and the energy that you're giving me right now, how did you feel when Molly was asking Anna for career advice on how to deal your feelings?
There's no feelings because it's your job. That's the tip is put your feelings aside. Go to the gym, walk it off, do something else, vent to someone else, but then come back to work and work.
So she really didn't give her an answer. I found like Anna just kind of stared at her and talked about things. And I was like,
I feel like she said something strange. Like, that's how you know you're doing a job right, when you're throwing your feelings all over it. I feel like she might have done that, because I was just like, what is this?
What is happening? Conversation?
And then like Anna's like, this doesn't add up. And I'm like, really? Because 5 seconds ago, you felt the little evidence that you had covered an entire scenario that you didn't like. But now she's like, something's going on. I'm suspicious. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. I'm like, you're not. Like, when have you ever gotten to the bottom of anything? If not for following Felicia. Felicia gets to the bottom of things. Yes, and then you tag along. You tag along to other people who get to the bottom of things.
It's very true. So she's probably just going to tag along with Jagger or somebody like that. But you're talking about kind of, we were talking about like the nostalgia and everybody kind of like knowing who Jason is, or like pretending to know who Jason is. And I had you in mind when I was watching kind of. You talked about last week that whole Maxie and Spinelli scene, how it really kind of pushed forward that nostalgia for us and what that kind of trio meant. And this week, I kind of looked at it through that lens as well. So I just kept thinking about you, like when they were at the footbridge, when he washed up at the Quartermains, when he brought up Monica. Like, there were so many things that just made my heart so happy about locations that he went, who he saw, and what's going to happen next. And that's why I'm still mad about Friday. But anyways, let's continue.
No, I totally agree with all the places that he went to. And then Anna was like, oh, this bridge, I know everything there is to know about Jason. Right? Bridge.
Because I'm going to give you the history of this bridge. So between Anna, the cool cop, and just, it was a funny week for sure.
Jagger heard this, right? She's like, I know so much about Jason. He's like, cool, cool, cool. He's like, I'm going to go to Carly's to actually get to learn some things. I'm like, well, why would you do that, Jagger? You have a Jason expert right next to you.
Right.
And so, like, we were talking earlier about, like, you mentioned Christina and Sam. And so, I mean, look, yes, Jason's returning. And obviously, Jason is a dividing factor for people, right?
Yes.
And it's odd because, like, everybody loves Jason and everybody has good things to say. And all of a sudden, you know, people have strong opinions. Like, you have Molly and Christina who are falling into that, you know, who they know. And they're like, well, it's obviously not him, right? But you have Sam who feels very different. Do you know what I noticed?
What did you notice?
So when Jason shows up and Carly like sees this, what happens? She leaves and she changes into a black turtleneck. And the same thing happened with Sam. Like before Carly was wearing a light color and then she changed into a black turtleneck. And then when she went to go talk to Sam, she put back on a blue like shirt. And then Sam was wearing a lot of color. Like ever since she wasn't with Jason, like her wardrobe kind of changed. And then all of a sudden, once the Jason news came, she was wearing a black turtleneck. And I didn't know what that meant.
I really hope it's not what I think it means, which is, I don't want any more rivals between Sam and Carly because they're in a really good place. And it was really frustrating.
Yeah, that was a good place.
Going through a hard time. That Sam and Carly before, they depended on each other and treated each other respectfully as opposed to.
But I just mean like what happened with them this week specifically and how that.
It was awful. And I'm just hoping that the wardrobe situation and bringing back a really kind of raw part of their relationship that wasn't good and very negative has no reflection. Like, I don't want Sam fighting for Jason. Like, Sam's really happy about Dante. There might be some conflicts in terms of his role in her kid's life and how that's going to pan out. But I just don't want Sam and Carly's relationship to shake.
Rivalry will be about wanting Jason. It's the rivalry might be like they're showing you now. Carly implicitly trusts Jason, and Sam has sort of been divorcing herself from that life entirely. So I don't think the fight is I want Jason. No, you like it's not that. It's more going to be about life. it's who he is. Like, she already is expressing the fact that, you know, Dante has been taking care of his kids. He's been gone and he didn't come back to us. You know, I think she's doubling down on this life that she wants, right? She's done with it. She's over with it. And I think it's the fact that she's hurt over Dante. I mean, we saw it too, right? When Olivia, it's just weird because like Olivia had the same reaction towards Carly when she was in a similar position and Ned was in the hospital. But this is what I feel like, you know, ages ago, Sam walked away from that life. And even though Jason was there, like she was moving on, right? And she was seeking more of that normie life. And we saw that she built this amazing life with Dante. And there was a time, and I remember we talked about this because there were conversations about Jason being a father. We get so caught up in the myth, the man, the legend, this amazing like hero, but the reality is he's not super involved with his kids. Like Elizabeth,
right?
You know, there was that reality where Franco was kind of raising one of his kids and you had Drew raising one of his other kids. And then Dante stepped in. And there was a point before Jason had taken off where we were having some uncomfortable debates about the reality. If you zoom in,
right,
you know, he's not the best in that department. And even Molly niced it up by saying he's an unorthodox father.
That's
And so I think what we're seeing is a normie perspective. We're not seeing Sam, the one who knows the mob life. Her anger is about the fact that she's in the normie life. She's not looking at Jason the way everyone else is. She's looking at Jason, the father, and the burden her, like not the burden, she loves her kids, but the fact that she's been taking on all this responsibility and he hasn't. And even though he could be gone for a good reason, I think Sam just has different feelings about it because the life she created is being threatened.
Okay, I like that. I like that.
So I think it speaks to like that shift in her character that started before Jason even left. Like, I think it's more about lifestyles than it is about like Jason. I think that's more about what this kind of represents.
Okay, that's what I wanted to be. Yes, it's that. Done.
But I also saw what you described in sort of like the sister theory between Carly and Sam, because they lash out at each other. They're not very careful, but then she's protective of her because when she was talking to Christina, she says, "Don't tell Molly." And Christina realized it was because she didn't want Carly to get into trouble. And so that was really interesting. So I think any rivalry will be about like who is pro Jason and who isn't. And Christina, you know, we had some weird, like Blaise showed up. And unfortunately, it's what I thought. She did not have a good like interaction with her mom. It was a horrible experience that she got pulled away from Christina with the hope of something better with her mom and their relationship, but totally not what went down. But what kind of troubled me is I had made this comment when Blaze's mom had walked in on them at the hotel and the way she was treating Christina. And I was like, it's kind of like Christina's used to being treated badly and being the one to try to make it okay. And that's how I felt when Blaze asked, like when she offered to Blaze, like, do you want me to come with you? And Blaze looks at her and goes, even after how my mom treated you?
Right?
And I thought that was like an interesting mention.
I agree.
And then when she went to go talk to Sam, you know, it looked like Sam was ready to like, it just sucks, you know, like she is pregnant. She's, you know, like, and then she went to go see you and you already like, well, if you feel that way, like go talk to Carly. And she's like, fun stuff. But I like that she held her own, because when Danny showed up, Christina just called her on her crap because she knows what it is to be the kid who has a father who's in the news, and your dad might not do amazing things. Like they might like, you know, shoot people or commit crimes, but the media can still be inaccurate about what they're saying about you.
Well, exactly.
And I was also thinking about this with Danny. You know how he's like, my mom's so lame. But I thought it was really funny because when she has a conversation with Sunny, she straight up is commissioning a murder.
Right? Like, pick a lane.
Exactly. But you really are positioning, you know, Sunny more on a Sam side, which makes sense, right? Because the whole point is Sunny said it to Lois, like, you know, Dante's been like the one that I've been going to. And I'm like, oh my gosh, do not let your other backup child hear this. Because if Christina finds out that Dante's been the most important to you, she's going to be mad. She's like, Michael was finally out of the way. And me and Dante finally had a chance to be your kids. And now you're just choosing Dante. And so, like, I think it's about that crew, you know, Dante and Sam are neighbors with Sunny. You know, Dante had this place in Sunny's life because Sunny has no one else. So I think it makes sense that we're going to see that side together. aligned.
Okay, yes.
And Jason went back to his original family, to Carly and to Michael.
Okay. Okay. Are we going to talk about the flashback? Okay, what? No, you tell me.
No. First, Danny. He went to his vape spa. I couldn't believe that that was accurate, that Danny was the one to find him. I was like, dude, conjure up something else. You've been whining about your dead dad. Now come up with anything else and see if it comes true.
I know, like win the lottery, get a car, whatever it is that you need. Oh, but he's such a good actor. Like, he does this whole, like, teen thing. I know he is a teenager, but he does it so well. Like, his dad came back from the dead and he's all like, I'm mad at you. I don't know if I'm gonna help you, but like, do you also want a lot of my help? Because I like want to be here, but I'm mad at you.
I know. So what? Okay, so this is what I thought was interesting. So he was obviously suspicious. So notice his scenes with Jason. He immediately tries to like be angry and questions him. Remember, Danny doesn't know his dad.
Exactly.
And then Jason manages, like, with one line to kind of turn things around. So what I thought was interesting, he tells, like, because, Danny says, like, swear on something. I don't know if it was Danny who asked him. And yes. He's like, and, like, something that's really important to him. And he's like, I'm going to swear on you that I didn't shoot Dante. So I'm like, not only did you tell him and reassure him that it wasn't you, but you also communicated to him in one sentence that he was the most important thing.
Oh my God, so cute.
So he did good. And then it starts, right? So Danny is now going to like get the like first aid kit and start to help him. And it was just really funny because it's like, it's so weird because we're hearing that comment, you know, about like, he didn't raise his kids and Molly's like, he's an unorthodox dad. So then in the little time he has with Danny, you know, he like sees him. Danny finally agrees to go get the first aid kit. Jason's sitting on the chair and he calls him back. Danny. Yeah. Yeah. Dad. Shut the door. Like that's all he tells him. So he gives him a bit of that like grumpy dad experience.
Yes,
and then when he comes back, he's like, and this is how you use a gun. I'm like, what are these parenting choices? And then he went to go get like Michael. So this is where I thought it was brilliant. So Danny at this point, you know, trusts Jason, but he goes to get Michael, someone he actually does know, and then brings Michael in. And I love that Danny got to witness this because remember, Dante is Michael's brother. And Danny was mad because like Dante is a father figure to him and a father to Rocco. And so that's why he's like, how could you do this? And then when he saw Michael, see Jason. So Michael walks in and instinctively goes to hug him.
Yeah.
And that was so important because it shows Danny through Michael who his father is. And it was so cute to watch all those generations and to see Danny maybe finally seeing like where he belongs.
Yeah.
And like really, really wanting to be a part of it. But like immediately Jason was like, now make him go away, get him out of this. Like I shouldn't have involved him. And I get that, you know, you don't want to involve Danny, but it was too late. And oh yeah. And then this one, don't tell your mother. And I'm like, oh my
Jesus.
All the things that are going to make Sam super, super angry.
Oh yeah.
But I like that Danny didn't get sent back to the main house and he got to be useful because, you know, he's been leaving the house and sneaking out. And I mean, for good reason, he's upset, but I like the fact that he showed he was reliable by staying with Amelia and Wiley while Willow was there. So I was taken aback that Michael pulled Willow in.
I was too, but before we dig into that, I'm loving this whole different lens of Sam and the whole parenting thing. So the focus here is not necessarily the mob, but the parenting through the mob. So, you know, any parent would be upset if the dad said, don't tell your mom, and then they come for a look and find out. But this is, I found my dad, he was shot, I helped get a first aid kit, and I didn't tell you. Sorry, mom.
I know. Yeah.
Willow is such a pro to the mob. Like, she is just amazing.
Elizabeth vibes, right? Like, that's how Elizabeth got.
Right?
And so when he brought, because like Johnny's like, is Jason gonna like that? I'm like, well, obviously not. Immediately he's like, what are you doing? Like, already exasperated by how many people have watched the photo. So that was amazing, but I loved it. Kind of him trying to like situate, right? Because he knew that they got married. He knew that they had feelings at one point. And yes. So now he's finding out like, okay, he has two kids. And I'm like, yeah. So the more that I'm learning, right? That Jason really does not have access to any kind of news in Port Charles, right? Finding yes. out Michael is married and he has his two kids. He knows that Bobby died. And I'm like, so then he 100% does not know Britt is dead. Just throwing that out.
Oh crap. Yeah.
That's not gonna be fun news. And so
anybody else on the landscape since that time. And no. There's a lot of people, a lot of changes.
There's a lot. Oh my gosh. If Jason ends up at General Hospital, I'm like, you gotta not right? talk. Please don't ask for anybody who used to know.
Right.
Do not. So then like they were talking and I love that they honored Bobby and he started talking about Bobby's role and how like yeah. the first time he held Michael and it was so insane because I'm like, I do remember that. I do remember when you Michael do? Was born. Yeah. I was watching that and I remember when Michael was born. I remember how Carly was. I remember her walking out. I remember all of that stuff when he was at the hospital. And so I couldn't believe that I was been watching that long. And yeah, Michael is essentially his firstborn because imagine that moment for so many years, Michael was so special to him because he got to hold him. And that's the thing, like Jason didn't have that with his other kids.
True, very true. And not involved in this way and the understanding of the mob and everything they went through, it's really different.
No, like Jason only raised Michael. He only yeah. gave up Michael for Sonny, but he's the only kid he truly like was there and really like supported. And then Michael, like full circle moment for Michael to be able to go like, yeah, I finally know what that feels like. And obviously not with Wiley because he was taken away. So with Amelia, he yes. finally understands like these moments that Jason's talking about. But what was great is that we finally got some info about what's going down. So I love that. So yes. Jason immediately gives Michael the full story, tells him who this third guy is. And what I thought was interesting, because like we all know, like on social media, how Jason, well, Siebert and the character got his tattoos. And I'm like, Jason didn't have tattoos at all, right? Like really, like not at all before.
No, no.
So I love that. That thing, right? I love that they took personal tattoo and like make story out of it,
right?
And I love Michael's reaction. He's like, what happened to you?
I'm like, is he talking to the tattoo? Like honestly, I rewound because I'm like, did he see a bruise when he was changing? Did he see another gunshot? Like did he see something else? Because it was such a strong reaction to like a sleeve.
but it adds to everything, right? So he was gone. He obviously wasn't recovering from like a major injury somewhere. And then yes. to come to learn that like he never even got crushed at all. He's like, no, I walked through the back tunnel. There was a back exit behind back me. And I was about to go back to the main house. Like I was ready to go back home. Like, so we're finding all this out. And I think it adds a layer of mystery because it's like, yes. you've been gone. You're doing this weird stuff. You had time to get a whole sleeve. Like it really adds to the what? Like it gives doubts to people if anybody else were to see what's going on. And then it freaked me out when he started going, no, don't throw out the clothes. I'm going to need those.
Okay. So, but where is your mind at this point? Once he starts telling
Where's
the story.
Where's my mind at?
Where? Like, what were you thinking? Because I know what I was thinking, but what were you thinking?
You wanted, well, I have to go first?
Yeah.
I was so sad. Like, I don't know what's wrong with me. Like, I know that he wasn't on the show. Like, I know he wasn't on the show. But when he said he was taken, I was gutted. I'm like, oh my God, you were taken and put in a windowless room? And then I saw his anguish. I'm like, what are you doing, Michelle? Like, you know that they just made this up to explain. But I was so devastated that he was separated from the people that he loved. And then I was like, he's a mercenary. So then I was wondering about like him and Dex, even though I prefer Dex to be Ned and Lois's child. But then Joss this week, she's like, you're just like Jason. I'm like, subtle Joss. Thanks a bunch. And so he talked about being a mercenary. I'm like, okay. And then that kind of freaked me out. And I'm like, leverage. So he said mercenary at first and leverage. So is this me answering the question? So what did you think? So at this point, I'm still thinking Jason and Morgan. Sorry. I can't. My brain is broken.
So for me, what I didn't get so emotional,
that's fine. We're different people.
But I remember. So I had my videographic flashback to when Dex was talking to Sunny about Pikeman and how vicious and evil he is. So mm-hmm. everything Jason's saying, I'm like, okay, so he's trying to take down Pikeman. And he's infiltrated with Quantico / Dagger to complete the mission.
Do you know what Quantico is?
It's a TV show, right?
It's FBI. FBI.
It just sounds fancier, okay? There's a whole show called Quantico that I never watched.
I know, it's where you train. It's where you train for, like, to be FBI.
So he was training at the FBI location to infiltrate Pikeman and take him down for Jagger so Jagger could take the credit.
I love this. Like, I normally have 2 servings of Quantico.
It's delicious.
That's how much I know what
it
is.
Put a cherry on top, and then you put some chocolate syrup. And then
I order Quantico every time I'm out.
And it's the best breakfast. Put some avocados, sprinkle some salt on that. It's fantastic.
Like, the way you were saying and talking about Quantico, I'm like, oh no. What do you...
I honestly thought it was like a secret section of the FBI that's not really known. You know?
So a lot of things. So mercenary, and then I think about like how Dex was a mercenary, and then you said Pikeman.
Yes.
But then Pikeman uses weapons from the WSB, but could also be considered mercenaries. Mercenaries. And so so what? So what happened? So the FBI found him? So who's putting him in a windowsless room? So he's undercover. So what do you think? He's FBI? He's undercover? He's undercover? He's undercover working for John Jagger Smith?
Yes.
Kate, I don't know what his name is. I just made that up. So John swipes him and is like, RICO charges to everybody because you all stink. No, I'm just kidding. Reeking. RICO. So anyways. Whoa. So he's like, RICO charges. And like, RICO charges are not leverage. So he's like, we're going to drop the charges and you're going to infiltrate the most dangerous pikemans. Like, people, like, that's so bad. And then he's like in there undercover and he did it. Like, he infiltrated it. And so then there's a guy who's like putting him in a windowless room. Okay. that's where I'm at. But I'm just like, Jagger, what's up? Like, what's going on? What's going on? Because he knows Jason. He has a history with Jason. So, like, what is happening? Is that what happened? He was FBI and was like, oh my gosh, you know what? Did I tell you about my high school girlfriend? And then and then he was like, Pikeman, I have a job to solve. And I, like most law enforcement, need a criminal to help me solve it. So then he's like, I'm going to snatch Jason. And, okay, that's where I'm at. And then he wanted to use him. Okay.
Yeah, I think we solved it.
I think we solved it. I think we basically said Pikeman and FBI. Over. Yeah, Pikeman, FBI. Quantico. You put it together. You put it together. Have 2 servings. 2 servings of Quantico daily.
As soon as I'm done with this podcast, I'm gonna have some Quantico and go to sleep. I don't think there's any side effects, so I think I should be good.
So what do you think the leverage is? The leverage can't possibly be like... Like, I still think Jagger is a good guy. Like, I don't think Jagger is... I don't know, I was about to say Pokemon. What? And then I got so lost in my brain. I'm like, what are we talking about? I don't think
I think Pokemon. He's a good guy, too. Yeah. I also believe what you're saying. Oh, not the Pokemon stuff.
But, like, the leverage, I don't think he's scared of Jagger because he's like, I'm jumping in the water with a bullet wound. Like, bye-bye. Because he was scared of the other people, the pikemen.
Exactly. Because the pikemen are scary.
And... I feel like the pikemen's have an accounting firm somewhere. Oh, those pikemen's.
Right.
And they're
really
weapons.
Messing up those numbers.
Yeah. Why do we always come back to math? It's just ridiculous.
It really is, though.
So that's where we're at with Jason. Like, I'm so like, because earlier when you said I had a flashback, I'm like, how could you have a flashback to a moment you were never part of? But that's not what you were talking
that's
about.
What it's called my videographic memory, something I saw on video.
No, I know, but I thought you were thinking about Jason. I'm like, but that was the first time. It's not your flashback, it's his flashback. But you meant Dex and Sunny.
But legit, I had dreams about Jason all week. Just like what the heck is going to happen in the episode. Like episodes were playing in my head.
Oh, yeah? What was happening? Yeah.
It was just playing out. There were stories happening, replay of the episode.
Okay. Good stuff. Yeah. So do you know what I think is really cool?
Tell me.
I wrote something and I didn't even know I was making a connection.
I love it more. So you work for the PCPD, correct?
Yes.
That's what that means. I didn't know I solved a crime, but apparently I solved it.
That was part of my interview. Are you good at this? Because like they normally hire people that don't solve crimes, but I'm like, I solve them accidentally and I solve them backwards because I'll explain. Okay, so this is how I solved it backwards. So in today's episode of
minute 10.
It's like I'm starting a different podcast, one that makes sense and is more logical. Okay,
got it. I'm listening. I'll be quiet.
Okay, so Heather gets this weird diagnosis of the hip
replacement. Oh my god. Yes.
Yes.
I'm excited about the storyline because I'm so.
Okay. So when they talk about like how and why she got sick, this was a storyline on Grey's Anatomy.
I know, you read my mind. I knew exactly what they were talking about.
You used to watch Grey's Anatomy?
Yeah. And then she used the Grey's line last week. So I'm like, I am also Grey's.
Yes. That's what I wrote.
I know that, Richard.
That's what I wrote. She goes, you have a Grey's Anatomy degree. She said at the starting of the week. And that's what I solved backwards.
Same. And I was like, Richard.
Richard Weber. Richard Weber had this. And her name is Heather Weber. Okay.
Explosion in my brain.
She said Grey's Anatomy and it was starting this week. Okay. And then she's having a storyline from Grey's Anatomy. Yes. But this storyline actually connects to Franco. So it's kind of like a get out of free jail.
Yes.
Get out of jail free. Yeah. Who wants to get out of free jail? it's for everybody. I don't know. But you know what I mean? And then that undoes everything. They're like, has Heather been acting weird lately?
For like 22 decades.
A matter of fact.
She was a little murdery, come to think of it.
And I was like, come on, Laura. Laura is heartless. She's so cold. She's like, I'm you're going to San Quentin. She's like, I feel bad that your daughter died, but I want you nowhere near me or your grandson. I was like, that is pretty bad. Like, you're going to send her to a federal prison where she can't escape. I don't know why I felt really bad about that. Why can't you send her to a scary prison in Europe that she can't escape from? Come on. She doesn't know anyone. She has to make new friends. It's going to be awkward at the lunch tables.
I just love how they weaved in and out exactly what you're feeling. This like sympathy for Heather, this wanting to know what's going on. And then at the very end of all of it, when they're like looking at pictures of Ace, she's like, so sleeping with Kevin. What's that like?
I could not believe that. I was like, what is this question?
I don't get it. Why is it awkward now?
I love that it was so good. And that she was made proxy. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Oh, how are we not talking about this?
I don't know.
How are we not talking about the fact that Drew went over to Carly's and he's not wrong. How is it possible that I'm annoyed by him acknowledging he's not wrong about what he's saying, but also feel like everything he's saying is like a turn on, like he's hitting on people all the time, like the way that he talks. Like, I'm so confused about my Drew experience this week. So he goes to see her and he like lays it in. He's like, look, I'm dumping you and I'm firing you, okay, but you're a good one and it's not your fault. And I was like, and he's like, you never really wanted that job anyway. She's like, what is just happening? So she got dumped and fired, and then he wanted,
but she quit, decided, though.
Yes, but she unquit. Remember when they slept together and he came to see her at the
That was sexy hormones.
But then she was like, no, like, I'm going to work with you. And then he's like, great. And then he's like, now you're fired. And so now there's an opening for Maxie.
Yes.
Okay. And then like he broke up with her and then he went to the gym and he's like, I need you to know every, so like, okay. So Jordan walks into the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm like, oh, what? And then I was like, yes. Like immediately I'm like, yes, you should have sex. Like immediately.
Yes.
That's how I felt. And he was all like, hey, and I'm like, this is amazing. Because at this exact punching bag is where you like confronted Curtis about like, hey, you're sort of hanging out with your ex-wife and you have a wife, and maybe should you decide? It's the very same bag. And then they're talking, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh, Jason, that guy who saved me from like being imprisoned or something. I don't know how he got involved into Greece. He's like, we're just biologically related. That's it. Just twins. And everything after it ends there. So I think he should go into turn himself into the coppers. I'm on your side, Jordan.
Yeah. So remember, like, Jason, was it Jason and Jordan that had some sexy vibes as well at some point?
That's what I was telling Johnny. I'm like, we wanted Jason at one point to hook up with Jordan. He's like, what and how? And I'm like, there was a point when he was back that he was working often with law enforcement, and him and Jordan were working together a lot. And I'm like, this would be cool. And then that's when we started saying, it would be cool if he was a cop. It would be cool if he like was FBI or something like that.
Right.
Except now, like, he's so pained and his heart looks like it hurts.
Know.
And tears. It makes me sad. It makes me feel like he has to go away. So I feel like my dreams are coming true on one level. And then people were bringing up this. They were like, but what about Jordan and Brick? I'm like, I totally forgot about that. But that adds to the lines, right? Because now, was Brick around when Jason was around?
I want to say, I don't know. Yes? I want to say no, yes.
I don't even know why I'm asking that, because this is about Drew. Drew and Brick. So this is really funny. Lines. Just more lines. It's not haha funny, but it's more like people are on opposite sides, right? Okay. So we have like Carly and Sam.
Oh yes.
Okay, we have like
actual opposite sides. Mm-hmm.
Right? We have Drew and Brick. Like, we're just like pulling people apart left and right. So then once Drew told Jordan, hey, I'm single and ready to mingle and kiss my best friend's ex-wife. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm like loving Jordan. She's like, hi, Portia's brother. Hi, Curtis's best friend. I'm like loving the vibes. Okay. And she deserves to have someone. And this fits, you know? And then you have, then Drew goes to see Willow. Do you not see the vibes, Mel?
Okay. I did
that
though.
That is not daddy vibes.
No, I was shocked because I didn't really catch it. I even rewatched the scene, but this one was like, whoa, it was there, because he's talking to her about crossing lines and loyalties. She's questioning what she is being put into. It is weird.
It is very sexy. And a moment Michael came back, he was like, bye, I gotta go.
Bye, out of here.
Yeah. Peace. I'm related to you, but maybe just Willow. I talk to her now. We have wine sometimes. We have heart to heart, right? She grounds me.
Oh my God.
Take that. I dumped your mom.
So weird.
Yeah, but the vibes were there. The vibes were there.
They were there, but like you said, Drew was just like walking vibes, man.
Exactly. So that's the thing. I'm like annoyed by him. I'm like, man, you're dumping her and all that stuff. But like, you know, I completely agree. Like, why ride this out? And I get it. You don't want to be in a relationship where there's like another person involved. And I completely understand his perspective. But then I'm like, everything is like, ooh. You're hitting on everyone. Like, what is happening? Like, you're having vibes just everywhere.
Well, especially like when Jordan was talking about her duties as a whatever she does right now.
Duty.
And then and they were talking about like normal things, but it looked like dirty talk. And then they just kept kind of getting closer as they were talking. I'm like, I don't even know what's happening right now. Are you guys gonna kiss, or like you're gonna do it in the ring? Like, what's happening?
All I know is I want to go to the gym like Jordan. You dress like super cute, oh, like outdoor, indoor vibes. And then you sit there, you chat, and then you leave. That's how I would want to go to the gym.
Well, especially if it's a gym like that. Hot damn. There's like, you could bump into a Dante, a Drew.
I know. Okay, so other things happen. I honestly, props to Miss Wu for using the situation to her advantage.
Right?
Yeah,
it was sneaky.
Yeah, she's like, Jason did it. She's like, nobody, like, why is it Sonny's not getting shot when he's supposed to be shot? That's evidence. So I loved all of that, but obviously, like, Curtis understands that, like, she's just stretching the truth to get what she wants. But I love that she capitalized on the Jason information. making moves when like Sunny is obviously out of commission a little bit. And I love how Joss is trying so hard to get Dex to say, we watched her efforts today. And immediately after, he's like, so I'm going to continue packing. She's like, you're still going to leave? It's like, yeah, he's still going to leave. And then Nina, when she comes to the door, it was the funniest. It was the funniest. Like, she's so gross. Like, I understand that Joss is like more of an adult now, but it still remains the fact that you dated her dad and she was younger than you. And you did these things. And it's so, it doesn't surprise me that Nina would turn around and take a shot and imply like, you're going to get dumped next after Sunny. And I'm like, what is the, like, what's the matter with you? That's the best you got. You literally ran over. You know that Dex is not necessarily working for Sunny. I think Ava might have mentioned that. And you're like, oh my gosh, can you like just tell Sunny about the paper? It's like, what are you talking about? Like, you could have literally texted Ava.
Yeah, totally.
And then she decided to throw this. She's like, oh, something about, I don't even understand the vague threat or whatever she was talking about, secrets. And then she says it to Dex about like the whole Cyrus thing. And I'm like, literally, they could just tell Sunny you're walking around openly talking about his business.
Yes. Like, it's messed like, up.
She's wackadoo. That's why I like watching Alexis deal with her. It's so funny.
Oh my God. She even mocked her like a parrot.
It was incredible. It was incredible. Like, I love how harsh she was. And I didn't know, because part of me is like, I would love to watch Alexis continue to give her a hard time. But then she kept saying things like, I don't want to be here, and she's ready to leave. And plus we saw that Gregory left, and that was a big, you know, part of her time there that she really enjoyed. And so out of nowhere, Diana's like, zip it, let me talk. I'm pretty sure I can get you reinstated. I thought she was just going to hire as a consultant. Why are we acting like you can't consult?
Right? Thank you. We've been talking about this for years.
So, because I'm just thinking, like, if this is my frame of reference, if I think about Suits and you have partners, do the partners at the top even practice law, really?
No, they're handling all the administrative and making the big decisions and the big calls, but they're not using their law degree from what I remember from watching Suits.
that's why I thought okay, well, yeah, it could make sense that she'd be a partner or take on a different role. Like, it was never impossible to do. It was Alexis after she lost her license. She would have stopped being a baby. Like, I lost my license. Every time anyone asked her advice, she's like, I'm not a lawyer anymore. And it's like, but I'm pretty sure your brain still works.
Right?
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. So yeah, I'm looking forward to her working together, but I love the way that they were teasing each other. She's like, you want me to make a retraction and tell them you're not a natural redhead?
I love their friendship. They're just freaking adorable and so fun to watch.
But do you find that they're like giving more space to that?
Yes. And I love Diane. Yes. Yeah. I like that she has more of a storyline. I like that they're, you know, spotlighting her ties, but it doesn't change who she is, and we all love her, and she's witty and she's a sharp dresser, and I love whoever she interacts with. I don't like that she's with Robert, but I'm hoping that we'll see a lot of her setting him straight.
I think so. That's what I like about it too. And also Alexis, I really feel like I've never really seen Alexis with Danny, so I like their talk together. Yes. And I like the way that Christina was with him too, and honestly he did a good job. Like, he did not hint at
right
what he did. Yeah. And I loved how things even finished off with Michael, where Michael kind of understands. Like, this is what I'm thinking. We talked about this last time, like how like other people have more experience, like an Ava in the actual mob. And Michael's expertise lies in being like the son of a mobster and what it's like to be on the peripheral, right? Like, kind of like the situation Danny's in right now. Mm-hmm. And like, that is where like all of Michael's experience comes in. And I like the way that he treated him and said like, I'll come and find you and I'll give you the full story, and just reminding him like, you can't tell anyone.
Yes, it was very respectful, and you know, I like the way that played out. And you have such different sides of who he got to interact with this week. And there was also a moment with him and Elizabeth when she found him at the hospital. Yeah. And she's like, don't worry, I'll make sure you don't get in trouble. And she stayed with him and made sure that everything was okay. Like, I love all the different sides to his community. I like who Sam has to support her. Like, it's so interesting to see how the younger generation is pulled into it. Like, you constantly talk about that, and it makes me kind of pay more attention to it, and how the adults interact with them and what information share with them, how they treat them, and how that relationship all comes together.
And I liked how like the bond with Elizabeth and Sam, you know, they've been talking about parenting, you know, she's gone through parenting all of her boys, and here is Sam in this position. So I love the way that like Elizabeth was there to kind of encourage her and support her. And she does do that. You know, she's been through it. She knows you can get through it. And just saying, like, just hear him out. Just let him talk. You know, he's just worried. So I like the way that she, you know, in a very subtle way, you know, was able to communicate with Sam.
Yes, Sam. Okay, so we talked about all of the things. We covered all of the stuff. There's two of my favorite lines I'm going to give away. Let's see here. It was Christina and Molly. Freaking love this because I feel like it's so true to life and I have to remember this line forever. What are you thinking super loud and not saying?
Oh my God, that's so cute.
Right? And then Curtis was just silly because when Miss Wu was talking to him, he's like, your intel's whack. I was like, I love that he used the word whack. I'm like, I'm the same age range. And before we throw stars, we got a little bit of hope with Finn calling his doctor friend and sprinkling potentially a little magic on Gregory's ALS.
Oh my gosh, I love that. And I also loved Gold Star to like his scene with Jake. The other Jason. Yeah. The other Jason Jr.
Right, so sweet. I love them bonding. I love how Finn's always just really calm and he's just so connected in that family. Like he just fits, right? And it's so lovely.
Well, I love it. I love their conversation. I love how she talked about Violet bringing in the girl energy. I just love the family they're making. I feel like we're getting a bit of those Dante Sam vibes in their family too.
100%. So started their whole family, started Jason, started Danny and all the interactions that he's had. More stars. Help me. You usually do the stars.
Stars to Carly. Stars to... I feel like
I'm... Maxine Spinelli. Maxine's whole, like, not having gas moment. Love it.
Yes. It's a star to Cody and Sasha. Star to Christina.
Sexy star to Drew.
Start our Will and Drew, because I was thinking about this. Okay, like, let's say Drew and Jordan hook up.
Yes.
Do you know what I realized the nickname would be?
What?
It would still be Drew. We would change the D for a J, and it would still just be Drew, because that's how you would say it, right? Anyways, I know things.
I was going to say we would call it DJ Rue.
DJ Rue? What? Oh man, my favorite thing this week though, my favorite thing that Jason did was jumping into the river, because I was getting so freaking annoyed with Anna and I'm like, yeah, that is like the only rational response is like, later, can't take this, can't take listening to you no more. I know you, Jason, I know you, come to the police and talk to us, we're really good at stuff. No, you're not. Right? Like, mind you, he was pulled in right by the FBI and he's not exactly in a good spot.
No, he is not, sadly.
And he has to go back to these people. Where are these people? According to Anna, people like that get in and get out. So we don't know where out is.
We don't. We need more Jason.
More Jason. We better get more next week, all week, every day.
I'm shaking my fist in the air.
Shaking it. With a Polaroid picture or something.
Oh my gosh, folks. That's a wrap.
Wrap it up.
Have a fantastic weekend. Bye. Bye.